Okay, so you had an interruption because of the battery. Batteries. So, and then they may also systematic threats to external validity. Oops. Which are internal validity is telling there is a something like a logical condition, logic, that tells you that your conclusion from the experiment is not may not be correct. External validity is about application of the results to the outside world, to the bigger populations. And we are going to talk about them in detail in the context of experiments. And then we started the notation, you probably remember, XOR. We started with the different designs, and I think we went to two or three designs. So I'm going to just rush briefly. This one is one group of subjects. We manipulate, we intervene, and then we look at the result. The fundamental problem with it is that you have nothing to compare to in theory, because you don't make any observations before manipulating. You don't have like the baseline, the measurements in the world. You just have one group of subjects, you perform a manipulation, and you make an observation. This frog joke is, I think, a good one, because you can pretty much, you know, take any conclusions, really, right? The second design is slightly more complex. We perform a measurement, then manipulate, and then measure again. And that is, I think, what most of you, when you do experiments, that's what you normally do, I think. This is the typical, very inexpensive thing. Essentially, we look around. I look around the room, for example. I see you sit quietly, and then I do some intervention, like I start screaming, and then look at your reaction, right? That would be an experiment like this. And then I attribute your reaction to my intervention. So here we have something that we can compare things to. Measurement, manipulation, measurement. And as you remember, there are quite a number of problems. The original, the first design, had even more problems than this one. But this one has is the first kind of serious design. It has several problems, and we discussed them. History is something that can happen between the first and second measurement, something that happens. We didn't plan for it. It just happened. There were a few examples. I mentioned to you that fall of France or attack on Ukraine in 2022, that was an event that made a big change for the perception of Russia, and kind of went against all kind of propaganda that they were doing. This is also, you know, something has happened in the Soviet bloc that made it fall. It wasn't necessarily the tough international politics, something else, like solidarity movement in Poland, for example, made it faster, the fall of Soviet Union. Leak in the terms of all the exams, that's a very nice example. Exams in the beginning and at the end of the semester. X is a treatment, the teaching method that we use. And when the exams leak, then students write the second exam much better. And we would like to attribute that better performance to our teaching, but that's not a sound logical conclusion, because something might have happened there. Maturation is a natural process that that occurs, and examples, if you remember, if there is a long time between first and second measurement. For example, in education, we often perform experiments that take a whole semester. Then students, obviously, are also learning from other classes. So it's not just this class that you are using for testing, but there may be other classes that they have taken that made them know more. It's a classical example. If you have a longitudinal study, the study that takes long, then people naturally become more conservative. just natural process. That's the way we are as humans. There are exceptions, of course, always, but this is a typical thing. We become more conservative as we are older. And the same here, maturation in this case would be essentially very inefficient economic system in Soviet Union that made them crumble the economy. They couldn't sustain themselves. That is essentially people who are naturally, people who volunteer for the study. Typically, when you find people for a study, you put an advertisement in a newspaper asking if people would like to participate in the experiment. You offer them some money, or you ask for volunteers. That is also a common thing. And people who volunteer for a study on losing weight, they are usually quite motivated to lose weight. So no matter what you do with them, they're going to lose weight. And your wonderful method, there's nothing to compare to. There's only one group. If you measure for the second time in O2, then you'll notice that they weigh less. I may have told you that thing about my colleague in Air Force who was in Vietnam. I think I told you. I asked him why. I told him that he was in Vietnam and he was a successful scientist, so how did it happen? Many Vietnam veterans became alcoholic or drug users after returning from the war. And he said something like, you know, those people who became alcoholic and drug addicts, they probably would become drug addicts even if they didn't go to Vietnam. It was kind of a statement of that maturation. They were kind of on the way there anyway. Testing. The first test has influence on the second. We know it, that every time you take a test like IQ tests, SAT, GRE tests are entrance exams to US universities. You can take them multiple times. Every time you take them, you get better because you are used to the tests. Views can become more extreme as one sees the questions. So you see a question in the pretest, and that influences your views. Your answers in the second test are going to be more extreme. It's a natural thing. If you are in a company, somebody tells a joke, okay, somebody tells a joke with a dirty word, then the next joke may be with two dirty words, and jokes may be kind of, you know, deteriorating a little, right? It's a normal thing. So the same mechanism here. This last one is a physical effect of testing. Mammograms are tested. This is a screening test. I think women over 40 should, once a year or once every few years, do a Rentgen photograph of the breasts to see if there is any tumor. Now, in this case, a mammogram is associated with some radiation, and radiation is a risk factor for breast cancer. Of course, it's just theory, because the amount of radiation is so small that should not prevent anybody from doing that test. But, you know, in theory, radiation will influence whether you get the cancer. So the result of the second test later. Instrumentation, I don't know, somewhere here I stopped. Did I talk about this already? No. Okay, so maybe I was too fast with testing. But I think you understand what is happening. In computer science, some of you are computer scientists, there is what can... No, actually, no, this is it. Instrumentation, that's what I was thinking about. Instrumentation is happening when the measuring instrument changes between the two tests. Again, there's no way of preventing, to checking, to controlling for this. What kind of examples can we give here? So the first one is In many psychological studies, psychology or sociology, economics, when they have a questionnaire, they do by means of an interview. You can give a questionnaire to fill out, but you can also have an interviewer. So a person who comes to different subjects and asks questions, write down the results. The interviewer may do, I don't know, 20, 30 interviews a day for a few days. The interviewer becomes more experienced as he or she goes in testing. So in that sense, the measuring instrument, the interviewer, is changing over time. And when the interviewer asks, does the second questionnaire afterwards, he or she is more experienced. So it's a different instrument. Classical example, here's another one from education. Very often teachers lower their standards as they go. So I remember that happened to me when I was just done with my PhD. I started teaching. I taught a database class. And I thought I knew databases very well, and I chose a very good book, an excellent book, in fact, that was good on theory, explained relational databases using two types of mathematical formalism. I started teaching that, and I noticed as I went through the semester that I was losing students. The students were not really expecting this very nice theoretical view. So I had to lower my standards. I kind of said, regretfully, you know, I cannot teach at that level. So that happens. And it's a phenomenon that happens that very often, that students, the teachers are lowering the standards. Here is the computer science example that I meant just a few minutes ago. Suppose you run experiments, some kind of manipulations, and you are measuring in the beginning how things are happening, and then after the manipulation, after the intervention. Suppose that you do it on a Friday, measurements, for example, you observe a computer network measuring how many packets are lost or congestion in different nodes. And then on Monday, you introduce your wonderful scheduling scheme, algorithm that should make it much better. You run it on Monday. But in the weekend, the system administrator changed the processor card or changed the clock chip on the processor card, and the clock is actually running faster. And you are unaware of that. So when you measure things on Monday, it seems that everything is so much faster with your manipulation. Right? Good. I don't know if it's a far-fetched example or not, but it could happen. If you are using a general accessible computer system, they can change the compiler, for example, without telling you, that they can upgrade it to a newer version. That compiler can be better, can produce more efficient code. So your measuring instrument, again, is going to be decalibrated. And these things always happen, the calibration, history, maturation. The problem is the design. The design does not protect you from that. There's no way you can figure it out because you have just one group and two measurements, and things are happening between the two measurements. Statistical regression. That's a cool thing, really cool thing. When I first read about this, I was amazed, and I didn't fully understand it, but I was amazed. Let me try to demonstrate it to you. Let's see. It's hard when you are sitting to figure out who is the tallest here. How tall are you?
180.
180. Mm. What about you?
180.
182. Anybody taller than they? You are,
195.
Okay, that's a good example. 195. Now, I'm willing to make a bet for a small amount of money. Do you have a brother?
No.
Oh.
Two sisters.
I can bet that your father is shorter than you are. What about you? Do you have brothers?
No.
Tough. Well, father is not as good as brothers because parents are... They are brought up in different times, you know, maybe in Poland times were harder, so maybe the food, the vitamins made them grow shorter. But if you had a brother, that would be a good case. It's a safe bet. The bet that I made was safe. If you had brothers,